The Business on RT Radio 1 with Ulster Bank. For when you're keen to know what Brexit means for your business, visit ulsterbank.ie/Brexit.
First, let's go to a story that's still making headlines 7 weeks after Kevin Lunny, a director at Quinn Industrial Holdings, was tortured by a gang who abducted him from near his home in Fermanagh. Yesterday, during police raids of properties here in the north and in England, a suspect died. He has been named as Cyril McGuinness, also known as Dublin Jimmy. So what does this mean for the investigation? We're joined by retired Detective Chief Superintendent John O'Brien. John, you're very welcome to the programme. The fact that this suspect, Cyril McGuinness, was caught by surprise, would not have been in a position to destroy any evidence in this safe house that he had. How significant do you think it could be that they have seized documentation, mobile phones and a laptop?
Well, good morning, Richard. Yes, of course, it's very significant that they got him literally unawares, as so it would appear. But a lot of preparatory work would have been done, Richard, in relation to this. And both the police forces here and in the North and in the UK would have appointed a senior investigating officer whose job it is to evidence gather and then to handle the issues that follow from that. The house, of course, itself, if there's electronic material there, either laptops, phones, whatever, you know, written documents, you know, bank transactions, whatever. All of that is part of the forensic trawl and the evidential trawl, which would be really envisaged in that search at that place yesterday morning.
If you take from your own experience of many investigations over the years, when I think a lot of us heard the news yesterday, we might have thought to ourselves, well, if there is somebody behind all of this who is a paymaster in some shape or form, this man's death might hinder the prospect of that happening. Equally, others would say, well, in fact, no, it might actually help the whole question of getting to the full truth of this. What do you think?
Well, I think it hinges around the fact, what was McGuinness's real role in this? And I think it's a general assumption now that he was a key player in it. In other words, the guy who organised the immediate horrendous assault on Kevin Lunny. Normally in groups or in gangs, and Cyril McGuinness operated in networks for quite a long time. Essentially, if he was and is the key individual, then the people who were under him in the organisation, they would normally splinter at this stage, because they would have made the not too difficult conclusion that a lot is known about them, a lot of intelligence has been gathered, and I would expect normally, you can't be sure, but I would expect normally this would represent a fragmenting of their solidarity, and in other words, some of those guys will want to save their own skins pretty fast if they haven't done so already.
You knew him, John. You chased him and caught him a number of times in the past.
Yeah, I mean, Jimmy McGuinness, as we knew him, was, he was obviously from North County, Dublin, and in the mid-80s, I was a young sergeant, and he came across our radar quite significantly for a lot of road traffic offences also. He was involved in stealing trucks and HGVs, but he was also part of a network then, which is kind of the pattern now. In temperament, he had a hair-trigger temperament. He was very volatile, reacted quite vociferously when he was stopped. As a result of prosecutions that we took against him and I took against him, he was disqualified in the South for 25 years. And he was also wanted and warned in relation to the theft of a HGV or others. And as a result of that, he took off from here and literally was not back in the South. I obviously moved on in the police and, you know, in the subsequent years. But effectively, a very simple device, when he no longer had mobility to operate in our jurisdiction here, then he went somewhere else. And that's kind of a very basic, you know, policing lesson 101.
Did you ever have any threats from him?
Yes, he threatened me frequently and quite graphically. But I honestly believe, even though he was physically a very imposing guy, the photographs that we've seen of him over the last few days or yesterday in the papers, he was quite a different physical specimen in the mid-80s. He was tall, he was physically strong.
How were those threats delivered, John?
Some by telephone, some in person, and abused in court. I mean, we're very lucky, we had a very good District Judge Sean Dunlap, who has since passed on, and he abused that good judge many times in court. So, I mean, he had a physical intimidating presence, but I honestly believe, for reasons that I won't go into, that he was a coward at the back of it, even though that he was a very intimidating presence. I mean, just to illustrate the point very quickly and briefly, myself and two colleagues arrested him one night after an episode, and he had stripped to the waist in his own house, holding a big brush handle and threatening to take our heads off. But when we, without any undue violence on our part, said, "Hey, Jimmy, you're coming with us," he came without a murmur. You know, so a bit of a dichotomy in that case, but a clever and an intelligent individual, so not to be underestimated. But obviously, the passing years, he had graduated up into the very top echelons of criminals. But what it means in terms of the network, you know, responsible for the horrible assaults on Lunny's, etc., he was a key player, but obviously, I would think, not the key player.
When it comes to criminal activity or criminal gangs such as those behind the abduction of Kevin Lunny, If it's about money and somebody behind it is motivated by money as to why they might actually get paid off to do it, would it tend to be cash? Or I remember recently interviewing the head of CAB, and he was talking about how these criminals are using cryptocurrency now. And I'm thinking about the evidence that may have been found. I mean, what are the chances of finding bank transfers or anything like that on laptops? Or would this be done through cash or cryptocurrency, do you think?
My instinct tells me that it's unlikely that he would have been someone who was using cryptocurrency, although you may have access to people who did. I think cash would have been his strong common denominator. For instance, and it's widely reported, he was a suspect for being behind a series of ATM robberies in North and South over a long number of years. And essentially, Richard, that's a cash business. So I think cash would have been king for him. I would have been surprised if not a lot of cash was found in his hideout in Derbyshire. So I'd say it's unlikely, but okay, I'm not in the current picture, and it's unlikely that he would be using cryptocurrency or any other, you know, more discreet methods of travelling. And bank transfers, I don't see him quite fitting into that mould.
Are you hopeful that, assuming there is a paymaster involved in this, that person will be caught, do you think?
Yes, I am, of course. I'm very hopeful because it is reprehensible, you know, what happened. And, of course, it is a huge cloud hanging over the border area because of that. It is, frankly, down to the evidence. And evidence is an elusive commodity, but you do need people to come forward. But I would have great confidence in the senior investigating officer involved or officers involved in different locations, because they are now very adept at leaning forensic evidence, you know, and drawing the appropriate conclusions. But should also say to you, just in a by the way, you know, the whole Brexit saga that you would cover ad nauseum in the program, you know, on a business program, will have an impact on the ability of the police forces to cooperate for one simple reason. And that is, the networks that are used now will no longer be available to our British colleagues when Brexit happens. They're part of a system known as Europol and Eurojust. And that is, membership of those networks are a byproduct of membership of the European Union. So unless there are new bilateral arrangements agreed, it will make policing the border even more difficult than it is at the moment in legal terms.
Even more challenges ahead. Well, hopefully not. We'll have to see what happens. Retired Chief Detective Chief Superintendent John O'Brien, thank you very much for joining us on the programme.